I saw a very interesting vault. The beauty of this vault is it's as we say in Lashon HaKodesh, it's hechach. It has to be. I think it's a very beautiful vault. It starts from a contradicting. It's a chidush harem, the Gaon Rebbe, and I must give. It sounds like a very straightforward vault. The Gemara tells us that Sorei Meinu, as well as Chano, their tefillahs, they were what's called barren. Is that what it is? They were barren. They were akorois, and the Gemara says that their tefillahs were heard on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah the tefillahs were on Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, that's a Gemara. It's a Mefush Gemara. On the other hand, there's another Gemara that tells us that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the Imois and the Ovis? Did the Imois barren? How come all the Imois were not able naturally to have children? And the Gemara says, what's the Lashon Gemara? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misave, he desires, what's better than that, he desires the tefillahs of his tzaddikim, of his righteous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misave le tzaddikim, le tefillahs shel tzaddikim. So there's an obvious question. So what is it that actually did the trick for them to have children? Was it Rosh Hashanah, as the former Gemara seems to imply? On Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them was it Rosh Hashanah? Or was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaved the tefillahs and tzaddikim, which seems to imply nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah, it's about the tefillahs. So what is it? Did Rosh Hashanah do the trick? Or was it the tefillahs that did the trick? What is it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaved the tefillahs and tzaddikim. So that seems to imply that it was the tefillahs. So what's Rosh Hashanah got to do with it?
He answered the tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah.
Very good. Very good.
And he answered on Rosh Hashanah.
Very good. So the Chiddush Harim, the Gaon Rebbe says, it's such a beautiful answer. It's so posh, but it's so true. He says, obviously, yes, it was the tefillahs of tzaddikin, but the tefillahs of tzaddikin, the tefillahs are more powerful, more energetic. The tefillahs are more likely to be niskabel on Rosh Hashanah. So whilst it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaved le tefillahs on tzaddikim, a random Wednesday, as we say in Yiddish, a random Wednesday, mitten yar, a mid-year, tefillah is not going to do it. It was dafka Rosh Hashanah tefillahs which made it. Because it was the combination of tefillah plus Rosh Hashanah which gave them which made tefillahs being heard. Which Chiddush Harim explains, and he says, from here we see the kach of the tefillahs on that very special day. That all the tefillahs, despite their greatness and their tzidkus, their tefillahs weren't able to pull off that nest and that miracle of them having children. It was only the tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah which gave them the ability to bear children. And that, of course, is a tremendous lesson, a message about the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah. I want to share that with you because I thought it's a very nice Chiddush Harim. And having said that, we are ready to continue in Siman Tov Kuf Yud Beis, page 258. So we discussed yesterday, I'm just going to recap in order to be able to continue smoothly. We discussed yesterday there's two halachas. One is Torah and one is Rabbanon. The Torah halacha that we learned is that it says Lochem. Lochem implies and teaches us that whilst you're allowed to do melachas, the Torah Chachal Nefesh, of course, you know how to cook and bake and do melachas if it's for physical consumption, for eating purpose. The pasuk over says, "Asher yochel l'chol nefesh u'levad yoseh lachem," for yourselves, which excludes any melachas which is done for a goy. So if you're trying to cook or bake for the goy, that's also on a Torah level. You may not cook for a goy because it's lachem for yourselves. For yourselves, you may cook for others, i.e. for Goyim, you may not cook on Yom Tov. Right, fair enough. The Gemara therefore continues and says one more stage, which is the rabbinical restriction. What's the rabbinical restriction? Rabbinical restriction is that, pardon? That's right, or in other words, inviting them. So, we were concerned that perhaps if you invite Goyim, you're going to end up cooking for them. So therefore, you're not allowed to invite any Goyim. There's an Issa per se, an independently standing Issa of inviting Goyim on Yom Tov, because that may lead for you cooking for them on Yom Tov. So they've categorically forbidden inviting Goyim on Yom Tov. So various questions were asked yesterday, and historically the fascinating aspect is that we do see that at times Goyim were invited on Yom Tov, but that remains a bit of a question. Now, Lamaisa, what we also discussed is the concept of a mumo, somebody who's mechal Shabbos, perfaisi, somebody who doesn't keep mitzvahs openly. So the Mishnah Berurah teaches us that somebody doesn't keep Shabbos publicly, desecrates Shabbos openly, he's within that category of a goy. Therefore, not only that you may not cook for a Mechal Shabbos on Yom Tov, but you may also not invite. According to what we are seeing now, according to Mishnah Berurah, you may not invite a Mechal Shabbos Befaisya on Yom Tov, because that's an Issa D'Rabbanon. Just like you're not allowed to invite a goy, similarly, you're also not allowed to invite a Mechal Shabbos Befaisya. So the question is, what do we do nowadays? And the argument may be that many of the non-Fum Yid nowadays may be qualified as a Tinuk Shenishba, and a Tinuk Shenishba is not considered within their category. They've got Heterim, and you may of course cook for a Tinuk Shenishba, just like you invite them as well. So they may be qualifying as a Tinuk Shenishba Beno Akum, and therefore these halachas will not apply. This remains a question, and we said that remains a bit of machlokes achronim, how we look at the as the non-Fum Yid nowadays. Yeah, so the Chazon Ish spoke in principle. Chazon Ish said that he spoke in Etzoltak, and he said that we have to mechazik all the ba'avoses or ava, we have to mekarv them, and he qualifies them as Tinuk Shenishba. Listen, I don't know if he was talking in the 1940s and early 1950s in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if that's necessarily the same nowadays, 2020. If you go to Bnei Brak, maybe yes, maybe not. I appreciate very much Abyosel's argument yesterday. Perhaps they are, perhaps not. It's a very difficult question. What does he mean? Are they exposed to Yiddishkeit or not? It's a very, 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 very difficult question. Are you going to differentiate between Chutzlaretz and Eretz Yisrael? It's another valid question. Perhaps here, not so much. What kind of chinuch do they have? Did they have any Jewish chinuch? Did he go to bar mitzvah lessons? It's very hard, very, very hard to know. There are many people.
How do we get around for someone who's been with Gaia?
Yeah, so Gio is a very good question as well. Gio is a very good question. So many are makel with regards to potential geirim. It remains a shaila as well. Many are makel when it comes to potential geir. Although I never understood that really, why you want to invite a potential geir dafkon yom tov, invite them on Shabbos, and you get out of all the problems. But I haven't been involved in geirim cases. Right, in yom tov in operation. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay, I hear that. Yeah, I suppose, right, there is discussion about many are makel when it comes to geirim. Where did I see that? The Mishnah Berurah doesn't speak about geirim, but I know that poskim do speak about geirim. Many are lenient. Yeah, I suppose there's no inevitable, you're going to invite them, yeah.
It wouldn't
be practical, yeah. Right, okay. Having said that, we continue. Rabbi Feingold mentioned that we're going to carry on from that point to that second line of page 258. Now, actually, I'm going to start from the beginning of Seif Aleph. So, you may not cook for the purpose, for the goy. Kutim over here, it doesn't mean a goy, it doesn't mean a kusi, it means any goy. You may not cook for any goy, beyomtev on yomtev. Lefichor, therefore, also lazminoi. So, moreover, you're not allowed to invite them, Shem, or perhaps Yarbe Bishvili, you're going to increase the cooking for the goy, which you've just said is also, therefore, there's a rabbinical restriction of invitations. Vedavka, this is specifically Lazmino to invite them, Lebeisoi, to your house, Avol, but Lishloyach, Loy Lebeisoi, Halade Kusi, if you're going to send them a nice cholent to the goy's house, through a goy, a different goy, surely that's permitted. The Mishnah says that in Sefkot and Ches, hey, bottom line, hey, chadeike mishum darke shalom. This is not a generic heta. This means a darke shalom. If you want to, don't go on the wrong, on the guy's wrong side. So you don't want, because darke shalom, we don't want to end up.
How's that going to be lochem? It's still lochem.
No, so it's not really lochem, because. Because we are talking about, the Mishnah Berurah says, the Mishnah Berurah says, Sefkot and Vav, very good point, thank you for pointing out. Sefkot and Vav, Avol Ishlach Lebeis, I'm going back a little bit. Avol Ishlach Lebeis, I'm a Mamotcha, Ve'oid, the Mamotcha writes, the Dafkim Sholeach, Loi Mimasha Echin Le'atzmoi. Of course, we are not referring to, as the Biyosel points out, you are cooking for the Goy. Of course, lochem remains an issue. You're not allowed to cook for the goy. Rather, what we're referring to is the issa d'abon of invitations. So that issa doesn't exist over here. Havelim hirbe b'shviloi, havelim boi sekedere shemishl gam kelatzme osu. You're not allowed to increase. You're not allowed to cook more for the goy. But once you have cooked for yourself, and you see you've overjudged, you have got leftovers. Fine, you don't know what to do with this. You don't want to do with it. You could put it in the freezer, but you can't. You know, whatever. You don't want to do with it. So what you're going to do is send it to your next door neighbor. Didn't you once want to taste a delicious yontev challen? So you want to send it over to the goy. You've cooked it for yourself. That's why the issa doesn't apply. But the Mishnah Berurah does go to town. You may not increase specifically in the cooking for the goy, because that would be, as you're pointing out, there would be a problem of lochem. You may not cook for the goy, and you may not add potatoes in your pot for the goy. You may not add additional chickens. That is, you know, melechatchil, it's going to end up by the goy. But once you have made and you've got spares, yeah, sure, fine, send it over to the goy. Why is that permitted? Bishom darkei shalom. The ambassadors. Yeah, but no, but this is only, we are saying over here, what you're allowed to do is you're sending it to their house. Yeah. So if you've got leftovers and you send a delivery man, you send him to send to their house, but you're still not allowed to invite the goy to your house, even if it's people.
What's the issue of the inviting?
Shema Yabba Bishviloi. Says the. Is it Yichud Gesagoi wise? Yeah, we're talking about during the year.
So what about during festivals? When everyone sends each other seasonal greetings.
Seasonal greetings. Is it asking a separate shaila? Is it okay or not to send seasonal greetings?
Food.
You're talking about not necessarily on Yom Tov. You mean generally? Yeah. So it's seasonal greetings to the goy. I don't know if it's within Chukas HaGoy. I don't know.
I was told, because a couple of times I get from my boss years ago a bottle of wine, non-kosher wine. So I did ask a shayla, and I was told you can give it to another goy, but somebody else said it is problematic because of beneficial. I don't know.
Matonas to go, yeah. So yeah. I'll tell you what a lot of people do. I don't know if it's mutar also seasonal greetings. I don't know. I don't remember. I know a lot of people do because Hanukkah often is before. So you send donuts for Hanukkah and they'll appreciate that. In my experience, in my humble experience, you send donuts or whatever you want to send, wine or whatever it is for Hanukkah, and you say this is our festival, then you've patted yourself with, you don't have to send it from the subsequent week for that. You know, they know that you've got your own religion. Okay, continues the Shulchan Aruch. Avol avdoi top of the next page. Avol, but avdoi v'shivchosa, you servant and you maid servant. V'chein shliach shenishtalach loy, and similarly also a shliach which was sent. V'chein, and similarly a kusi, a goy, shebo ma'el avdo, just random, shows up. A goy that just shows up. Mutar la'achilo imoy, you're allowed to feed him. You never planned to feed him, but he just suddenly ended up on your doorstep. just like your maid servant and your servant. They just ended up knocking on your door. They're just suddenly here in your dining room. We're not concerned, perhaps you're going to increase for him. So Rabbi Yisrael, what we're seeing over here is a heter. Yes, you're not allowed to cook for a goy. Correct, you're not allowed to invite him, but if he shows up without invitation, you suddenly go, your mates have knocking on the door, I am hungry, or you've got a random person who knocks on your door, and he just says, and you for some reason or another, you feel you've got to feed him, fine, so you can't feed him. Why? Why are you allowed to? Why is it not lochem? Why is it not lochem? Why is there no problem of lochem? If he suddenly shows up. Exactly, you never cooked for him. You never cooked for him. He just happened to be here. You cooked for yourself, for your wife, for your children, for your Yiddish guests. You never cooked for the goy. So there's no problem of lochem. Lochem is the Issa Malocha. Oh, you think you're going to have to end up doing more, but who are you going to make it for? You're going to make it for yourself. Why is there no problem with Vazmona? Why is there no problem with the Abolon of Vazmona? Because you never invited them. She just showed up.
What if you say sit down?
We're talking about a scenario you can't send them away. So whether you physically, I hear your point, it's a valid point, but if you don't, if you, whether you literally tell them sit down, or you just like, the point is you can't get rid of them. You can't. Can't, yeah.
What about if you,
yeah, exactly. Your boss shows up.
If you want to be cautious on the opinion about not inviting somebody who's Mechal Shabbos for Chayesi, if you say to someone, oh, you've got an open invitation to come anytime you like,
and it suddenly shows up,
does that, if he suddenly shows up, is that like an invitation, or is that a good way around it? Or is that haroma?
I don't know. I'm not sure. How would you look at it?
Let's say you say to this person, look, you know, just I've got a few people I do this to. So, you know, just
show up when you can, whenever you
wear. Don't bother with the formal kind of scheduling invitations.
Just, that's nice. So nice.
Just knock on when you want to sort of, you know.
And then you've got
an open invitation. Is that you always?
I think that's probably okay. You're not invited.
You're not specifically invited.
For Yom Tov, I would imagine you could probably be lenient with that. Yeah.
It's a bit like, could be off like grammar.
Yeah, and they will literally just show up on the door. They don't call before you have to work.
So they just got
this pop. I imagine that's fine. Yeah, I'd imagine. Probably, yeah. If you have such an open door policy, I suppose that's yeah.
That's probably why they cut a lot of the kira.
Probably. Yeah, sounds like a svara. Continues the Rambam. Mutar leharbois bishviloi bishvil avdu v'shivchosoi poise kadesh mevashel bo le'atzmoi. Now, with regards to your maid servant and your servant, once you're cooking one potato, you'll add another couple of potatoes in the pot which is cooking already. All you're doing is you're adding potatoes to the pot that you're allowed to. Avolishar kusim b'cholini also, but that's only with regards to your maid servant and servant. Without another goy, you cannot add to the bubbling pot. V'yisrael ha'oifu betano shel kusi. Okay, what about a yid who bakes in a goyisha oven? Interesting one. What happens if you have you live in a village where there's a communal oven? Okay, this is before the days that everybody had their own ovens. There's a communal oven, and it belongs to the goy. The oven belongs to the goy. Now, the way you're paying for this, the way you're paying for it is you're going to bake your own bread and you're going to bake your own biscuits, but the payment for the use of the oven goes by giving him a percentage. So let's say you make yourself 10 challahs. Once they're fully baked, you take 9, you give him 1. That's the way you're paying him for the use of the oven. You're making a kilo of biscuits, it's going to last you for a while. Fine, you give him 10% of that. So the payment goes through the use, the payment for the oven goes through leaving. So I don't know what he's going to do with all those baked tzchoyra. I have no idea what he does with it. But that's the way the payment works. Are you therefore allowed to use the oven on Yom Tov? Knowing very well, you're going to end up giving him one of the baked things that you're baking, it's going to end up by him. So effectively, you're baking for the goy. Permitted or not?
That's payment.
Payment. As far as cooking is concerned, you only need to cook for. Is it lochem or not lochem? Is it cooking for yid or cooking for goy?
Yid.
It's permitted. Yeah. Why?
Because it's a payment.
It's a payment method. Really, you're cooking for the yid. It's a monetary exchange.
Isn't it shutfus?
It's not shutfus. Why is it shutfus?
Because it's your partner.
It's a partnering. Your partner. Interesting. It's really a payment.
Does that get you into shayla?
Interesting.
Business
yom tov.
It's
not really over to the chol because it's a very yom tov thing to do. Masamatan, or business. What's bartering? What is that?
It's without money. You make bread, I sell fish. We exchange.
It's not doing the deal. It's an existing deal. Isn't it like a business transaction?
So the Gemara teaches us over here. The Gemara says as follows: Lo yichad lekusi koydim mafia. You may not designate in advance this biscuit is going to end up by the goy. This chal over there, it is going to go the ones without the raisins. That's the one that goes to the goy. You may not designate it prior to the baking process. The oz official kusi, because then ultimately you are baking the goy's bread. Elo, rather, yefestam bake. Generic, just bake stam, fayit and loin, give him, afterwards, echod one of them. So the answer is yes, you may bake all 10, but you only designate that one that goes to the goy post factum and not in advance. So therefore, you haven't really baked anything for the goy. What you baked was all for the yid, and one of them goes to the goy after the baking process. That's how the Rama allows in his matir to get away that in that particular process.
You can't have a pre-existing arrangement.
Correct.
So really it's quite
that's
a
right.
Application. Just
yeah.
Have to have some leftovers here.
Yeah. As yeah, you're right. You can't, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of it's kind of, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, gentlemen, we learned this evening, we went over the side of Lochem, which teaches us you may not cook for a goy. There's an additional Isidabon of Hazmona. We learned Hazmona is only if you invite him. However, if you bake or cook and you send afterwards to the goy something which you have baked for yourself, that's actually permitted. We also learned that with regards to your maidservant who just randomly shows up, or a goy that just knocks on the door, you're allowed to feed them when they knock on the door, because there's no lochem issue because you could bake for yourself, and there's no hasmona issue because you never invited them, they just showed up. We learned that if you have got that kind of arrangement with a goy, that you pay him for the use of the oven by giving one of the items you're baking. So we learned here that if you are only deciding and designating the piece that goes to the goy after it's baked, you're allowed to do that. However, you wouldn't be allowed to designate before the baking which one goes to the goy. Having said that, I wish you a very good evening.